Had this on my mind all week. Turn over to Luke 2. And while you're turning over there, to Luke 2. Many, many years at Mama's house, Mama would have the Bible open for you and hand it to some of us and want us to read the Christmas story out of Luke 2. And it might have been a ritual to somebody, but it's good to bring it back to our remembrance. And as far as I know, and I may have missed it, but Mom been gone about 10 years, and we've kind of let this go. We've kind of let it pass, and maybe this is a small thing, but I think about it. How many things have we let go as our elders pass on, as our elders go on? You know, so many had a tradition and things that they done. Am I on, DJ? Did I finally get on? Amen. Okay. Luke 2. I don't know this scripture in John 1 and John 1 and 14. I wanted to read it and then we'll go right straight to Luke 2. But John, first chapter of John in the 14th verse, and it said, the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is St. John 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Like John said, and we saw His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I thank God for this scripture here that the Word, Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And I praise God for the men of God that saw it, and they saw Jesus, and they saw Him. I praise God for the wise men and for the shepherds and these that seen Jesus, and they wrote down what they seen and passed it on to us. And I just have to, by faith, take their word for it, that this is how it was. And then if I take it by faith, then spiritually I begin to feel it into my soul and it becomes alive. And then I can see where they have written some of this down that I didn't get to see. And then I get to look out by the eyes of faith and I see what Jesus has done. After He went back and He left the Holy Spirit here to speak to hearts. And I've seen Him. Over the last 52 years that I've realized how I've seen Him move upon people's lives and how He's brought people out of bondage and how He's brought people out of sickness and He's brought people out of hospitals and people that had no love or no desire or no caring for anything. I've seen how He put families back together and how they got off of drugs and how they got off of alcohol and got in the house of God. And you know, and some of them are still continuing till this day. Amen. Everybody ain't fell away, and everybody ain't run, and everybody ain't quit serving God. There's still a few, amen, of glory to God. And that's what the Bible teaches me. There'll be a few that enters in the straight and narrow path. It ain't going to be, according to the great population that's been since the beginning of time, it ain't going to be a great big number, amen, compared to that. But there's still a few, amen, that picked up the faith that the Lord gave to them and took it out and used their faith, amen. God added to their faith and God added to their faith and God added a little more grace to them. And the more we used of what God gave us, can you feel that tonight? What God gave us, the more we used of it, the more that God gave us, amen. And He made us get excited, amen. Glory to God. Not on the outside, the flesh has trouble of getting excited, but we need a stirring of the Holy Ghost fire of God inside of us, amen, that'll begin to show out and our face begin to glow. and a smile come on her face, and we realize, glory to God, that the Word, which was Jesus Christ, was made flesh, and He dwelt among me. And I'm glad today, Miss Melody, when trouble comes and when we cry over our grandchildren, and we don't understand what's going on in so many different places, I'm glad, glory to God, the Word, amen, the Holy Spirit of God is still dwelling among the flesh. I'm glad that we can see the working of the Spirit of God. And I thought this week, and I got sorry for Bill, and I thought, when, Lord, when is this ever going to end? I need a break. I need a breath of fresh air. Amen. And seemingly nothing I planned this week would go. It's just everyday life, church. Amen. It comes to all of us. It's common to man. It ain't something that's just been invented. Amen. It's the work of Satan trying to stop those children of God. They done it to Elijah. Amen. They done it to Abraham. Amen. They done it to all the children of God. Even got Lot off down there, Lord, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And only God could bring him out. So he stuck many off down in that place. Satan has. Amen. But God, if we'll look back to God, He will bring us out and deliver us. I'm glad for the Christmas story that they wrote down. I wasn't there, and I don't understand it all. I have went to the place that they said where Jesus was born, and to the stable, and it's in under a church. There's been a church built up, kind of up on top of it now, or off to the side, and you have to go down into the rocks where the stable was. And I mean, we've got it. If they've got it right, amen, and that's what the guide said, amen, we have got it all misplaced by the stable we put out here on the side of the road like we know today. And they even took us and showed us the place where the shepherds were, and where they had fire, and the old rocks were just as black as they could be, and where they had the little sticks put up, and they separated the little ewe lambs, and little old bitty fellas, amen. They separated them from the big ones so they wouldn't get trampled. And Butch just mentioned there about a baby being rolled over on him. I crushed to death. So they protected the little ewe lambs. You know, today we got to protect our little babies, our little ewe lambs, glory to God. We need to protect them from false doctrine. Just the other day, a man here come to me, and a man, he blessed my heart. It lifted me way up. And he come to me, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. And he don't believe his doctrine ain't exactly the way we believe here. But he said, we've heard the Word of God. And he said, I don't want my little girl, I don't want my little ewe lamb, glory to God, my little baby lamb, amen, to come up not hearing the Word of God. I want them to know there's a hell out there. Amen. I want them to know, glory to God, that we've got to serve God or we're going to end up in hell. And he said, I've not heard hell preached in my church over one time in a year. He said, I had to have something more for my little girl. Can I tell you something today? When we really get right with God, we're going to realize our young ones are out yonder, headed to a devil's hell, and we're running from coronavirus. We need to realize today, glory to God, that we're setting an example, amen. These old men of God, amen, that wrote down the Word of God, inspired by God, what if they said, I'm going to run. I just ain't going to fight the battle. I ain't going to sit down and write it down. There'd been an old Bill over here that wouldn't understood that Jesus was the Word of God, and the Word of God dwelt among flesh. Amen. And we could feel Him. I wouldn't have known that today. But there's an old man of God sat down over there named John and said, I saw it, I beheld it, and I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to pass it on to him. There's too many of us today. Can I tell you something? We've had another week where God has kept Corona off of us. I feel for the ones that got it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to praise God He kept it off of us another week. God has took our heart another week. I'm going to praise Him today that my arms will still move. I'm going to praise Him that my feet will still walk. I know there's others that can't, and I know there's others passing, and there's grief in families all over. It's Christmas holidays, and death is coming. But can I tell you something? I read about the Word, glory to God. Amen. And the Word becomes flesh and it dwell among us. Well, glory to God. This begins to get down into my soul. I need to go to the Christmas story. Amen. But God has done something for us, church. When He said, I'm going to go away, but I ain't going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, to dwell among you. I can't reach out and touch it with my fist or smack it with my hand, but I know the Holy Ghost is here. I can wake up in the night and feel the power of God passing by. I can wake up in the night and feel a prayer being comforted by the Holy Ghost power of God. And when the old phone rings at 1 o'clock in the morning, I can feel the power of God saying, I've got this. I'll take care of this. I'm telling you, we don't brag enough on what Jesus left for us. Let me tell you something, church. Glory to God. It ain't with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He said, if I go away, if you'll believe in me, He said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. So we can have the Holy Ghost to know right from wrong. No daylight from dark, amen. And know when God speaks to us. We can know when our brother's preaching in the Spirit, or when our brother or sister's dried plumb up, and the world has eat them up, amen. And they're looking at the things of the world, and there ain't enough sap about them, glory to God, to grow a sprout. Amen. We've died, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Our old preacher used to say, a drier than last year's bird nest. Amen. It ain't worth a plug nickel. Today the church has dried up. The church is so afraid. The church has got so many things coming in that they can turn to. That we don't have time for Jesus. But let me tell you something. There's some third world countries, honey, that's still serving God because they don't have these big things to look to. They don't have the big shelters and the big transportation and pockets full of money. And they're looking to Jesus, honey. When that little lady come up about that high, about 60 years old, she said, kiss me right on the cheek. Glory to God. I knew the love of God had been there. They were glad somebody preached the Word of God. Maybe they didn't understand it all, but can I tell you, the Word come and dwelt among the flesh. Amen. And they know Jesus had been there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got that message off. Amen, John. It's good to us. John wrote it down so we could read it.
Right. Bless him, Lord.
He didn't last long, but he wrote it down for us. Amen. Luke 2.
Bless him, God.
And it come to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. You know, if we stop reading up there in the third verse, and he said, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city, and we think that's roughly 60 miles or somewhere right in there, over to Nazareth, and Nazareth was in Galilee, and Bethlehem was in Judea. So we wonder why. But he said he was the house and the lineage of David. Joseph was. So can I tell you, it's prophesied all through the Bible, amen, of the seed of David, amen, that the Christ child would be born, to be taxed with Mary, the espoused wife, being great with child. I thought about they could have stopped along the way. They could have stopped down in Capernaum, or they could have stopped somewhere, and probably, I don't know the route they taken exactly, but they could have, maybe they went down by Jericho. They could have stopped along the way and said, I want to pay taxes here. Can I tell you, that ain't how it works. What we owe God, we got to go the full distance. We can't stop along the way because it's a little bit more handy for us, or we'll go ahead and put it off here. We've got to go the full distance. Can I ask us today, Radio Land, are we going the full distance, or have we stopped along the way? Has hardship come up on us? I wonder, our lost children, are they not laughing at our church? Butch, I thought, Butch, I've been here 46 years. And I've seen child after child after child come up in the house of God. And I know some of them had heard the Word of God. I know some of them was raised right in the house of God. And I know some of them heard Mom and Daddy testify of the goodness of God. And I know several of them, glory to God, and made a profession of faith in the altar right here. Went down to the creek to be baptized. Amen. And they're not in the house of God today. Can I tell you what we're doing? We're making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've lost our testimony. We've told how great God is. God took alcohol. He took drugs. He put a desire for me to be in the house of God. Amen. He put some things back together for me. And He took some things away so I could serve God. And He made me what I am today. And just as quick as things begins to go right, amen, they're sitting in somebody else's house, not in the house of God. Can I tell you something today? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen. And glory to God, we can say what we want to. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. But can I tell you something? How we stopped along the way and paid our taxes in a place where God didn't designate. I can kind of tell you, even Joseph with his wife Mary and her pregnant as she could be, all swelled up, and she wasn't riding in a Cadillac. She was riding on a donkey or walking, my friend, and she couldn't stop along the way, cut the journey short, amen, to pay her dues there. She had to go all the way that the Word of God might be fulfilled. Are we getting this today, honey? What I'm saying, we've not finished our race. We've stopped along the way and said, I'm tired. I'm weary in well-doing. Bible said, don't be weary in well-doing. So we stop off here and quit giving God praise, honor, and glory for what He has done for us. We've not finished the race. We've not paid our taxes or our tithes in the right place. We've done what we wanted to do. Stopped along the way, and thousands have done that today. Probably millions have done that today, neighbor. We have justified abortion. We have justified laying out of the house of God. We have justified doing what we want to do. And we turned around and said, don't judge me. Can I tell you, the Word dwelt among us, glory to God. The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. He will judge us at the last day. We'll stand before Almighty God. It don't matter what I think about it or what you think about it. But if we've not given our best, our whole heart to God, then we're not going to heaven, my friend. That's the Word of God. They can tell you everybody's going and everybody's going to be all right. I can't believe it's the same my life, but we hear every now and then an old drunk, glory to God. I remember one I helped in a funeral, and he said, surely a man went to heaven with a smile like he had. Never made a profession of faith. I come to church once in a while, maybe once a year, for something special. Maybe when the daughter I wanted to bring him died with a massive heart attack instantly, glory to God, and think his smile's going to get you to heaven. If that's the case, Merle Monroe made it. Hey, man, if that's the case, there's many Hollywood that's made it, honey. Sin don't enter into the kingdom of God. A smile can come on a sinner's face just like it can come on a Christian's face. Matter of fact, there's more sinners smiling today than there is Christians, amen. Because we've run back into our bucket and give up along the way and said, I can't fight this battle no more. I want to throw in the towel. We read it about Jeremiah right there. A Sunday, glory to God. Jeremiah said it. He wanted to quit. He said, I'll not talk about him no more. I won't say nothing else about the Lord. Every way I turn, there's another adversary. There's something else to stop me. But he said, it's like a fire set up in my bones. Glory to God, I've got to go on. Can I tell you today, we call ourselves Baptists and we call ourselves Christians, but the fire has gone out. Can I tell you something? When God puts a message like he put on my heart tonight, it's like a fire set up in my bones. I'm glad I woke up and realized, amen, that the Word became flesh, amen, and he come down and walked among men just exactly like we're walking today, and he died the death just better. Our death will be better than what Jesus done on that old cross. I made fun of him, even looked up and said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Honey, I don't believe it'll be that way for me. Amen. I believe the Lord will be there. So he set an example as he walked among us in the flesh, glory to God. And we beheld him and we saw him die on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what to do. And we knock our neighbor down. We won't talk to our brother and our sister. We won't have fellowship with our other churches. We've quit along the way. Glory to God, church, there's more to being saved than to say I'm a Christian. There's more to serving God. Amen. And coming to church about once a month. Honey, our top priority needs to be Jesus. Our top priority needs to be church. Glory to God. If anything stands in no gap when this thing's burning, it's going to be the church, the house of the living God. Honey, it's our refuge. It's our shelter. Amen. Glory to God. I've got to
hallelujah.
Preach. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. What a great example that has been fulfilled over and over and over as time went on. There's no room for him in our lifestyle. There's no room for him in our bedroom. There's no room for him at our workplace. You cannot step out here. You're overriding the rights. There's not room for the Ten Commandments in our school. There's not room for the Bible reading in our school. America is backslid on God. America is backslid on God. When I went, you could carry a pocket knife, and I never heard of anybody getting cut or cutting somebody else with a pocket knife. Today, you can't turn on the TV except there's a shooting in Greensboro, Winston, High Point, Burlington. Coming home to us, church, we've backslid on God.
Amen.
We wonder what's wrong with our house and what's wrong with our church. We wonder why we don't shout no more.
Right.
Amen. We wonder why Jeremiah got discouraged. Because he preached and he preached and he preached and the people wouldn't listen. The people wouldn't change. They wouldn't move. They wouldn't move. And he said they were in the same country, the 8th verse. They were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. I wonder. I remember America in 9-1-1 when the tires and the fear fell on the people. I could take you almost to the spot down where the Bruners live, where I was working on the road when it took place. And fear fell on the world. Serve God just a little while. They tried to pray.
Right.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not." What did the angel say to us? He said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I thought about the sins of David. David repented. And the Lord said, "The sword will never leave from your house." But I thought about how his son turned against him, tried to take over the kingdom. Nephew, I believe it was, committed incest with his daughter. How trouble come, he had the plans to the temple, but he couldn't build it. And how David suffered. I believe we've got to pay for our sins somewhere. I believe he paid for his sins. And God loved him so much that he said, "Bethlehem, the city of David, the Savior of the world will be born." Why? Because David repented.
Right, preacher.
Church, that's where I'm at. If we don't repent, we all fall short. We all sin. Right. But we can't continue in sin and justify it. We got to repent. Right. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was, don't you know that was a good sign? How many kids were born in a stable? How many kids was wrapped in swaddling clothes? Rags that they wiped the horses and the cows down with. How many kids would be lying in a manger? It was unmistakably clear that this was Jesus. Unmistakably clear that it was Jesus. And suddenly there was with the angel, only one angel come to start with, but he said there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Wonder what's happened to that. Is that still just the angels and the multitude of heavenly hosts, or can we praise God? Can we praise God?
Right.
I thought about, and you know, and I believe God's getting our attention. I believe it from the depths of my heart. I believe there's a separation. God's getting our attention. But we can shout and holler. We'll pray a little extra when we have revival. But in this ordinary church service, we just fumble through it.
Right.
Amen, church. We just fumble through it. I'm talking about we, not you. We. We fumble through it. We've got to have something a little new, a new face or something a little different to excite us today. Amen. We rub that old car and it ain't hardly no paint, but after a few weeks it's got old and we just let the mud pile up. Amen. We don't pay much attention to the scratches. Oh, it worried us to death to start with. And it came to pass as the angels. See what it said? That one angel come, and the next thing you know, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. When one shouts and gets excited, bless God, we need to jump in and help them. We're not angels, but we're people. We are people that the heavenly host is talking to us. It's letting us know they shouted, we need to shout. We need to be excited. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." See, they didn't doubt. I wonder, you reckon they had a little boy they could leave with their sheep? You reckon they had somebody to fill in? I wonder what they done. The Bible don't say, but they said this, "Let us go in and see this thing that the Lord has showed us." The sheep was took care of. And he came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They spread it. And all the way they heard it, wondered. Can I tell you today, there used to be a wonder in our life. When we heard about revival at the church, and the old drunk uptown got saved. And was baptized. And they were wondering. I did. I wondered, what have they got? Will they make it? And I watched them. Have y'all ever been like this? Amen. I watched them. Amen. And when they fell away, oh, I just rejoiced because I was a sinner. I know there wasn't nothing to it. There's been so many that's fell away, amen, till we're not even wondering anymore. Till a baptizing ain't what it used to be. Come on, church, I'm telling us the truth. Amen. A Wednesday night service ain't what it used to be. Church after church after church has given them up. Amen. Church after church after church has given up church. Amen. There's no wondering about it. I'm kind of wondering what the Lord's going to do next. Amen. He may use Biden. I told Janet last night, I said, I am obligated to pray for this man. If he gets it.
Amen.
I'm obligated. This is my country.
Amen.
This is my state. This is my little community church. This is my little house up the road. I'm obligated to my people that know me to praise God and finish this race the very best I know how. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd, you know, I don't believe she understood all this. Do you think you could have understood all this? I'm still today, bless God, Emma, I don't understand how God sent His Son into the flesh and jumped right into my heart and saved my soul. I do not understand it. I've testified of it. I know it happened. Sonny, this is past my understanding. I'm talking about this is spiritual. This is out of this world.
Right.
But it happened. It happened. How in the world the Lord Jesus Christ could come through into my bathroom walls, and I didn't realize at the time that wasn't the first wall He'd ever come through. He come through many walls. He come through and spoke to the apostles, our disciples. Amen. When they were gathered together. It don't say the door swung open. He was just there. But I ain't understood all of this. But I ain't going to stop and dwell on it. I know it happened.
Right,
I know without a doubt that it happened. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So they were praising God. I need to be praising God more for all the things that I have seen and what God has showed me along the way. I thought, and maybe Sunday didn't mean nothing to you all, but honest to Pete, I never left the house Sunday, and I wallered. I could not get settled on a message to save my life. I could not get it settled. And I'd go to the altar, and I'd walk around the house, and I'd go back and read. Janet knows. I never did put on no pants Sunday. Saturday, I was just there. I was just there. And just like that, what I had read over 14, I don't know the amount of time. Just like that, God said, this is it. This is it. This is it. Go preach it. And when we see that we're in His hand, it's probably been preached thousands of times, but it never hit me just like that. As long as I'm in His hand, I'm still moldable. I can be fixed. Hallelujah. And Janet didn't quarrel at me for breaking her pot. Hallelujah. So we can't quit reading because we read it one time before, or five times before, or heard it preached 30 times. Somebody ain't got it, and it might be me. It might be me. I'm just about done. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. In the first chapter of Luke, it doesn't tell him what his name was going to be, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's where we get our dedicating the babies. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy in the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which he said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. You can go over in Leviticus and read that. And I still ain't got this settled in my mind. But it said 8 days, and he'd be circumcised. And then it says, what, 70? 30 and 3. Let's go read it. That's what it says. 30 and 3. Read it in Leviticus 12. Somebody turn over and look it up. Third or fourth verse, somewhere right in there. 30 and 3 days. 30 and 3 days. And he already had 8 days. 30 and 3 and 8 is 41 for me. But if we won't just call it 40, that'll be all right. But think about it, ladies. Tommy Lynn, if this fixing to happen to you, 41 days, you're going to have to just be shut down. You've got to wait for purification. You can't go out. You can't be around people. You can't touch nobody. You think about the law, how hard the law was. Today, some I've talked to, and you know it's the truth. They have the baby today, and they're up walking tomorrow and going home the next day. Fellas, I'm going to tell you something. There's a different blessing on you boys. Not a better blessing. I don't mean it that way. But there's something else about men. Ladies, I know that returns that goes against you all the way. I know that. I understand that. Go and read down in Leviticus a little while. I ain't even going to go there. But y'all go ahead and read down there. But there was something put on the man to do. And can I tell you, we fell short.
Amen.
One thing that wasn't put on the man is his wife said, you can't go, stay at home. Hello? The men didn't quit saying amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. That's why they're not preaching in the field anymore. That's why we've got a little Joel Osteen bunch. Amen, church. I could go a long ways there, but we've left. We've left. And I know we're not under the law. I know that. I know that. Let me go on, 25. I've stirred enough right there. I ain't say amen. Wake back up, women. Come on, get back with me. He said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just. He was devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. I guess that word today come to me as I was trying to work a little bit, consolation. And he said, this man, Simeon, or call it Simon, it don't matter to me, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Somebody give me a good definition of consolation. Just peace, comfort, protection, grace, faith, consolation. Of Israel. And I thought, we don't have enough patience to wait for the consolation of Logan or Beulah or Galax or Dobson. We don't have enough faith to wait for the consolation of the Lord. If I'm never healed of cancer, I will be one day. That's consolation. If my heart never works right again and it flutters, they told me in Winston, it flutters, it's irregular. I ain't never wanted to be regular no how. But one day it'll be all right. Consolation. You know, jealousy. I've got consolation. Janet ain't going to run around on me. If she's going to do it, she'd have done it when she was young. I worked with a fella in Morganton. Worked with him, went to his house, and I've never felt as uncomfortable in my life because he was so jealous of his wife. And I didn't know what his wife, I didn't know, I still don't know. But I can't tell you what she done. She shot him. She killed him. And I understood part of it. But there was no consolation there. I'm talking about a man that was an electrician, that was making money, things that was working good, that could not work one solid hour without calling home. Come on, church. Surely to God you're not in that shape. You see one house right after another that cannot make it an hour without calling, checking. Cell phones just killed us if we ain't careful.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Janice got mine. Amen. She checks it every now and then and said, I ain't got no girlfriends. But are we waiting? Are we waiting? Do we have enough patience to wait for the consolation in our house? I'm preaching to Bill. Can I tell you all, I'm preaching to Bill.
Bless him, Lord.
It ain't always easy to wait for the consolation. But Simeon waited. And when he took Jesus into his arms, this is the consolation. I'm ready to go now. He'd ask the Lord to let him stay till the consolation of Israel. He believed, he didn't doubt the consolation of Israel. Can I tell you something today? Jesus is still our consolation.
Amen.
He's still our peace, our comfort.
Amen.
Did you find in your dictionary what consolation says?
It says in here, spoke of the comfort and the hope of the people had in regard to God's plan for his people.
Amen. The hope of the people. That's good.
Bless him.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'll quit right there. I hope this ain't bored you. Mama loved it. I used to think, sometimes I think, Mama, why do we just got to keep reading this and keep reading this? I may read it next year if I'm still here. The consolation at Bill's house. Jesus. I can't hold him in my arms no more, but I got him in my heart. The consolation of Logap. The consolation of Mount Vernon Church. The hope of our salvation. He's our faith, our joy, our peace, our comforter. He will go with us, not to the beer joint and the hell holes of the world. Amen. Telescope. He'll go with us to the right places. When we're doing all we can do for the Lord, there's consolation. There's consolation. Satan can't, when they thought I should be dead, there was consolation. Laying in that emergency room, I told Janet, I said, I know there was 12 people. I counted 12 people. She said, you laying there dying counting 12 people in the ICU? I said, yeah, I want to see. They'd stripped me naked and done everything else to me. I want to see who was looking on me. Amen. Yeah. So I counted them. 12 I can pray for, and I think there was some more there that I couldn't see. There's consolation in Jesus. Death ain't near as big as I used to think it was.
Right.
Amen. Lord, anybody else got anything on their heart? Anybody? Have we been consoled lately?